Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to have you here this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. I want you to know you're our honored guests, and we invite you back at every opportunity that you may have. We're so fortunate to get the opportunity to come together today, aren't we?
Amen.
We thank our Heavenly Father for another wonderful day to come together and spend it with our family in Christ and worshiping Him and learning more about Him and communing with Him and just setting aside the cares of this life and focusing on our great Creator. I'd like to go to song number 150 that Eddie led just a minute ago. This has nothing to do with our lesson. But the song itself is such a wonderful song. It's one of my favorites. That the title, Follow Me. Because that's what we're all seeking to do, right? Is to follow Jesus Christ. And that's what this song points out for us. You know, the last verse really hit me this morning as we were singing it. It says, O Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. Jesus died for each and every one of us, as we just remembered, as we remembered him during the partaking of the Lord's Supper. He died for us. And notice how simple it is. I want to remember the simplicity of the Scriptures and the simplicity that Jesus Christ is when he says, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. You see the simplicity of this? How simple it is. It's nothing magnanimous, nothing exorbitant, nothing crazy. Just simple. That's what Christ is. He's simple. But look what it says as we ended the song. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Every one of us that sang that verse this morning just told Jesus Christ that we will live and we pray that the world will see Christ living in us. Do you realize you sung that this morning? That you told Jesus Christ? Because who are we singing praises to? To Him? To our Heavenly Father? We just told Him that. Remember that as you go through the week. That, hey, I told Christ I'm going to let the world see Him living in me. See how powerful our songs are? We don't want to take them for granted, but we want to recognize what a benefit they are, what a edification they are to us, our songs. Take them to heart and recognize what we're doing when we sing those songs. Okay, well, that's the side note. Well, as we continue our study this morning on the organization of the church, at this point in my original plan, we were supposed to be talking about elders. Well, we got another week before that, or 2 weeks before that happens, because my lessons on the evangelist took me two lessons, and this one on the apostles and prophets is going to take two. So I hope you're keeping up. I hope you're getting a lot out of the studies. I hope there are some things that you haven't thought about before, because our job is to learn the whole Bible and not just bits and pieces, right? We learn the whole thing, and we can better serve our God. Right, when we talk about the organization of the church so far, we've talked about Christ as the head. And we know that there is no person on this earth, no person that has ever been created except Jesus Christ, and He wasn't even created. No person except Jesus Christ can be the head of the church. We've talked about the foundation of the church, part of the foundation. We talked about the apostles last week, as they are part of the foundation. We've talked about the evangelist. We talked about him being one of the spokesmen. He's the evangelist, he's the preacher, he's the minister. Those are the only three terms we can use for the individual that fills that role in a congregation. We don't want to call him pastor, reverend, or father, because those are given to Christ and our Heavenly Father. We need to make sure that we're teaching the world those things. Educate them, because we are to go into the world and teach. Right? That's the job of the Christian. As I've said before and will say again, we are saved to save. We're to teach. We're to educate the world. And understanding the organization of the church is vital to the success of the church and to our influence, as we've been talking about in class, influence and our impact on our neighbors and friends and our community and in our country and in our world. It's so important for us to recognize these things. This morning we're going to talk about the prophets, the other part of the foundation of the church. If you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. That's where we'll begin this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. And here the Apostle Paul writes to our Corinthian brethren, and he says, and God has set some in the church. We're a part of the church. We are the church. Some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets. You see that? When he put the organization of the church together, he put some roles that were necessary to help the church go. First, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. As we see these things, as we go through this list, some of these things have served their purpose and have gone on. And we don't use them anymore. But the prophets and the apostles, we need to recognize that they still exist today. Not in the fact that there are people that are prophets and apostles today, but that we have them in our hands. We hold their testimony in our hands. We can read their words for us, which is really not their words. It's really the Word of God sent through the Holy Spirit, who was sent by Jesus Christ to inspire men as to what man needed to do when it comes to dealing with God. The Bible is what? It's the mind of God for man. We need to recognize that. So the prophets are a part of that. And then if you'll turn to Ephesians 2 and verses 19 through 20. Ephesians 2 and verses 19 through 20. Here's what the scripture says. Get to Ephesians 2. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, this ties into our title of our lesson this morning, Apostles and Prophets, the Foundation of the Church, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. All the things that we do are built upon the things that the apostles and prophets put forth by the authority of Jesus Christ. Right? So that's what we stand on, is the foundation that they have laid. Now, what is a prophet? We need to understand exactly what a prophet is today. There may be somebody in this world today that claims to be a prophet. They may think that they've received some valuable message or a spirit from on high and say, hey, I've been declared a prophet. Well, let's understand what a prophet is first. Because when we can understand that, then we can go to the scriptures and find out, well, who can be a prophet? Well, a prophet is one who speaks forth. Somebody that speaks of future events or so. In the New Testament, this is one who moved by the Spirit of God. Notice that. A prophet was taught or moved by the Spirit of God. It wasn't of his own accord. He didn't come up with this stuff on his own. He was moved by the Spirit of God and became a spokesman for God, who solemnly, this is the nice word, solemnly gives us a reverence attitude towards the Word. And he declares to men what he has received by inspiration, like future events, and in particular, such as relate to the cause and kingdom of God and to human salvation. We see that? We understand what a prophet is. He's telling us what God would have us to do. How do I become saved? Well, the prophet teaches that in his writing. So, we understand what a prophet is. Somebody that speaks from God, who solemnly declares to men what they've received from the inspiration of God, what God has told them to teach, what God has told them to speak. They have a very important role, because without them, guess what? We'd miss part of our foundation, wouldn't we? And without that foundation, we'll fall. Now, as we've already read in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, we look at where the New Testament prophets are next to in the point of rank. We see that the apostles were first and the prophets were second, as if they were some sort of rank structure. But we understand how important they are. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11... Ephesians 4 and verse 11, when we talk about the gifts of Christ and the organization of the church, look what Paul says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Again, more scripture that tells us how important prophets are in the Lord's church. In Ephesians 2 and verses 20, in verse 20, which we've already read, the prophets are part of the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In Ephesians 3 and verse 5, the scripture says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Look at verse 4 from that, because that will make verse 5 make sense. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And this refers to what Tom read just a little bit ago in Hebrews chapter 1, when Jesus was talked about. This is how Jesus talks to us today. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. God talks to us through the prophets today. He talks to us through his Son, through the apostles, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So we understand where the prophets get their information. They don't just make it up. They don't get it from some man. They get the information from God, who's going to provide us everything we need to be successful in this life, and more importantly, how to get home to Him in heaven. We understand that? We see how important the prophets are. So, we understand what a prophet is. We know that he's important, his role, and I keep saying his, but a prophet is not gender specific. A man or a woman could be a prophet in the Scriptures, and we're going to see that here in just a minute. We need to understand what the selection and qualification of a New Testament prophet is. All right, we need to know just who could be a prophet. Who were the prophets? Who are our prophets today in the Scriptures? We can identify who they are because we need to share with the world who the prophets are. They're important. And we need to understand that the world is pretty much ignorant when it comes to prophets. They don't understand them because do we talk about prophets very often? New Testament prophets? We don't. We spend a lot of our time talking about Old Testament prophets, don't we? But we need to recognize the New Testament prophets. In Acts 2 and verses 17 through 18. In Acts 2 and verses 17 through 18. I want you to see our first discussion about prophets and how they are selected among both sexes. In Acts 2 and verses 17 and 18, look what Peter says in his address to the crowd. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. You see that? And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You see that? Sons and daughters, men and women are going to prophesy. It's not limited. Except for the time that prophets were in existence when they were alive on the earth. So men and women served as prophets. Look at Acts 21 and verses 8 through 10. Acts 21 and verses 8 through 10. Here's an example of some prophets. And here's a well-known individual from the Scripture. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. We've talked about him before. We talk about him a lot. He's a wonderful example. Which was one of the seven, remember, from back in Acts chapter 6, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. You see that? Philip the evangelist had daughters that prophesied. They were inspired of God in some way and brought forth a teaching that was necessary during this time. You see this? Hey, women are important. God uses them to prophesy. How important is that? We need to recognize these ladies that they were prophets. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 4 through 5. 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 4 through 5. Look what the Scripture says here. And here we talk about, and we often get into the discussion about coverings and women needing to wear coverings. You know, we don't practice that here. We don't have scriptural authority to practice that, from what I can understand. But here's an idea that dealing with women and prophesying, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 5. Every man praying or prophesying have his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. The main point that we're trying to glean from this right now is that men and women both were prophets. They both were given the opportunity and they were given the honor of prophesying. It was not limited to one gender over another. Now, what's another way we need to look at the selection and qualification of New Testament prophets? Well, first off, they were chosen and qualified by the Lord. Jesus Christ determined who was going to be, who was going to serve as prophets. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and verses 7 through 8. Acts chapter 2 and verses 7 through 8. I'm sorry, 17 through 18. Acts chapter 2 and verses 17 through 18. Remember, as Peter refers to what Jesus said, or what Joel says when he prophesied, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You see this? When these individuals began to prophesy, they were chosen by God through the Holy Spirit that they were going to be the ones that were going to be prophesying. They were chosen and qualified by the Lord. Or, here's another way, in Acts chapter 19 and verses 6 through 7, Acts chapter 19 and verses 6 through 7, here's another way an individual was chosen to prophesy when the apostles would lay their hands on them. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. You see this? So either the Lord chose them, as was prophesied by Joel, or the apostles laid hands on them and gave them the ability to prophesy. Now, why was this be important? Why would we need to have so many prophets? Why would men and women both need to prophesy? We should ask ourselves that question because we need to recognize what's going on in this time. Well, as we've been studying in our Bible class, we understand there's a new thought process out there, process out in the world at this time in the book of Acts, right? Up until this point, the old law had been in existence, and now there's a new way of serving our God. And guess what? It wasn't written down yet. So people had to teach by word of mouth. There had to be prophesying. There had to be teaching. God needed to give this ability to certain folks so the word could be spread, and then so it could be written down. The need for prophets was so important, and we're so lucky to have this, or we benefit so much, because they're written down for us, their teachings, so we can understand and live the way God would have us to live today, to follow this new law, this better way that the Hebrew writer points out, right? Because what were most people trying to do during this time when it was taking place? They were having to learn afresh this new law of Christ. They were needing to do this. So we see the selection and qualification of New Testament prophets. We see who were New Testament prophets, and we understand their job is to teach the mind of God for man. But let's look at what their functions are. What's the function of the prophet? What purpose does he serve? Well, as we've already read in Ephesians 2 and verses 19 through 20, they involve laying the groundwork for the Lord's church, right? The church had never been in existence before, right? We knew that God planned the church before time began. But man needs to know, well, how does this thing operate? How does it function? How is it organized? Well, that's what the apostles and prophets were doing. They helped establish the foundation for the church. But the prophets also predicted future events. We've heard people talk about prophesying and talk about what's going to happen down the road. Well, these prophets actually talked about future events that actually took place. In Acts chapter 11, in verses 27 through 28... In Acts chapter 11 and verses 27 through 28, look what the scripture says about Judea. And in these last days came prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. You see this? He's teaching about a future event, that a great dearth, a great famine was going to come over all the world. And as we'll see later on in Scripture, that it did take place. It did happen. And that's why the churches sent funds to Jerusalem to help the needy saints during that time. They did. These prophets predicted future events. Well, in Acts 21 and verses 10 through 11, here's another prediction. Acts 21 and verses 10 through 11, the Scripture says this. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Here's Agabus again. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Do we know who this is dealing with? Dealing with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was going to be bound and he was going to be sent to the Gentiles. And this we know did happen. And look what Paul says in verse 12. And when he heard these things, both we and they that of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem, then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. The prophets predicted what was going to happen to Paul. And it did, as Luke writes for us. Everything that the prophets predicted. See how important the prophets are, predicting the future events? They teach things that were going to take place. Well, here's another thing that the prophets do. The prophets reveal the counsels and purposes of the Heavenly Father. In Ephesians 3, in verses 4 through 5. Ephesians 3, in verses 4 through 5. The Scripture says this. Again, whereby when ye read, as Paul writes, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The prophets, as we've said before, were given the mind of God for man and wrote it down so that when we read, we can understand it. Without the prophets, we're limited on what we have to read, aren't we? It's so important for us to recognize what these individuals did. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 7 through 16, 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 7 through 16, this is talking about the wisdom of God and how we have this word. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, we want to make sure we point that out, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Do we understand what has just been read? God gave us things so that we can understand it. That's the key. We can understand these things, and he's freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, notice that, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see how this kind of ties in with our Bible class when we talk about the book of Ephesians and all the epistles that are written? How we're striving to be spiritually minded. If we are worldly minded, guess what? This word doesn't mean anything to us. It becomes foolishness, just like the apostle writes here. You see that? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. We seek spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom. And that's what the prophets give to us. They give us that spiritual knowledge of God that we're seeking so that we can do what? So that we can emulate Christ, just as the last verse says. But we have the mind of Christ. That's what we're after. Without the prophets having that information, we'd miss out on parts of that information. So the prophets revealed the counsel and purpose of the Heavenly Father. The prophets also distinguished between the inspired Word of God and the uninspired teachings of men. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. The prophets do this for us. Look what the Apostle Paul writes here. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So if there's somebody that thinks he's a prophet, or if there's somebody that thinks he's spiritual, he needs to recognize what the Apostle Paul teaches. You think a prophet would recognize what the Apostle Paul teaches? Absolutely, because won't they be teaching the same things? Won't they be teaching the same message because they're getting their information from the same God? That's why Paul says, let him acknowledge, let them recognize that what I'm teaching is just like what they're teaching, the commandments of God. The prophets distinguish between the inspired Word of God and uninspired teachings of men. That's why they existed, to help us understand the difference between spiritual teaching and worldly teaching. We need to recognize that role with our prophets. Also, in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 3, we get another avenue with the prophets and what they did. Because the prophets exhorted, they comforted, they confirmed, and they edified the Lord's church, as it says here. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. These are the words that the prophets bring. They bring comfort. You think about being a Christian in those times. You think about the persecution that took place when Saul was persecuting the church. If you were to become a Christian during those days, guess what? There would be people who would be after you. People who would not like you. Just like today, when we become a Christian and we start to teach people things about Jesus Christ, they don't like it. There will be a response. And most of the time, it's a negative response. We have to be ready for that persecution. But the prophets bring us, as verse 3 says, speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort, letting us know that Jesus Christ is with us. They're not persecuting us. They're persecuting Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. And if you look down at verse 31 of the same chapter, it says this, for ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. You think the Hebrew Christian needed to be comforted? A lot. Don't you think? He lived a whole life of being against Gentiles. And here this new way, and he's determined that he's going to become a Christian. And the Hebrew writer gives a whole letter to these Jews who became Christians. They needed to be comforted. They needed to be encouraged. They need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is the better way, not to go back to the old law. That's what they needed. See how important the prophets are? To bring us this comfort, these messages that will help us understand and to build us up and to confirm our faith. That's the role that the prophets play. We don't think about the prophets very often. We need to think about them more often. And another thing that the prophets did in one of their functions is the prophets convicted the unbeliever of sin and constrained him to worship God. Look at verses 23 and 24 of 1 Corinthians 14. In verses 23 and 24 it says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? Well, they will if they come into a room and everybody's speaking in tongues and you can't understand anything. Wouldn't they say that about us here? Wouldn't they say, those people are mad. You can't understand a word they're saying. They would. Look at the next verse. But if all prophesy, and there came in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. When we have someone that can interpret the prophesying, guess what? The message gets into the hearts of the individual, and they can be convinced of sin. And they can be convicted in their heart, and they can change because they have the teaching. They can be judged, if you will, which is what will happen when it comes. Judgment Day will all be judged by the Word of God, which the prophets have revealed to us. We have the Word that we're going to be judged by. We need to live by it. So you understand the functions of the prophets? They teach us, and they predicted future events. They teach us the counsels and purposes of the Heavenly Father. They distinguish between the inspired Word of God and the uninspired meanings of men. They teach through exhortation. They teach through comforting, and they confirm and they edify the Lord's church, and they convict the unbeliever. This is what the prophets do. A part of that foundation that we need to recognize that they are. We need to remember what they've done for us. Recognize them. And share a knowledge of them with the world. Because they play an important part. But another thing that we need to do with the prophets is recognize that their office was temporary. Meaning there was only a certain time period that an individual could serve as a prophet. And then his time would be up. But his writings would go on and on and on. Right? Because his writings are the words of God. And the words of God will last for all eternity, won't they? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. Because Paul teaches this idea that this prophesying would be temporary. We don't have prophesying today. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, Paul taught, charity never faileth, love never fails. Love always will be. Right? But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What Paul is teaching is that the time of prophecy, the time of this type of teaching, will come to an end because it will complete itself. Prophesying will serve its purpose. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 9 through 13, look what the scripture says. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When the word of God is fully revealed as it has been, guess what? There's no more need for prophesying. There's no more need for anybody else to present any more information. Because Jude 3 tells us what? Turn with me there to Jude in verse 3. Jude writes, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. You see that? Once for all. There's nothing more needed. Nothing more needed. We have everything we need. God has given us every bit of information that we need to be perfected in Jesus Christ. As 2 Timothy 3 in verses 16 and 17 tells us, if you want to turn there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We have everything we need. So if somebody offers you another testament of Jesus Christ, you can say, please remove that from my presence. I have everything I need through the Word of God. I don't need anything else. So when the Word of God was completed and written down, the time of prophesying came to an end. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. I want to look at something real quick. James chapter 1 and verses 25. Look what James says here. He says, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do we understand what James is talking about? He's talking about looking at the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty deals with the law of Christ. This is the law that we are seeking to follow today. And as James continues, and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, when the prophets brought this information to us, and they wrote it down for us to read, we weren't just supposed to just read it, right? We're not just to become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, or of the work. Do. Because if we do the will of God, guess what's going to happen, as James sums up in this verse? This man shall be blessed in his deed. Just like 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us. We'll be truly furnished for all good works. You see that? That's the value of what the prophets bring to us. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10, if you will go back with me there. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10. But that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We don't need the ability to prophesy anymore. It has served its purpose. What we need is the result of what was prophesied. That's the information that we need. So we know that the office of the prophet was temporary. But we still have the valuable words that they bring us from God today. But we have to be on the lookout. We have to recognize that there are people that will claim to be prophets. We have to know that there were false prophets. There are false prophets, and Christians need to be aware of false prophets. In Acts 13, in verse 6, we have an example of a false prophet. Acts 13 and verse 6, here's the name of one. Acts 13 and verse 6 tells us, And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Here's a false prophet. We have a name of a false prophet, and he gets talked about frequently in Scriptures. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter 2 And verse 1, the scripture says this, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring up upon themselves swift destruction." You see what these false prophets will do? They'll bring in false teaching. They'll lead Christians astray if they're not mindful of what a prophet is and what his qualifications are, his or her qualifications are. If we don't recognize that the time of prophets as individuals is done, we need to be smart. We need to be wise when it comes to dealing with prophets. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, 1 John 4 and verse 1, here's instruction from John. He says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Brethren, we have a responsibility to ourselves, to our families, to our fellow Christians, to try the spirits. Make sure that everything that is taught, presented, spoken, take a step up and say, "Excuse me, can you explain that to me? Because it's not making any sense. It doesn't follow the will of God." We as Christians have the responsibility to try the spirits. Pay attention. Be on your guard. Watch. And listen. And do as our brethren in Acts 17 and verse 11 did. Acts 17 and verse 11. Remember the noble Bereans? "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." That's what we have to do today. When people talk about prophets, we need to recognize what they are, who they are, what they did, the purpose that they served, and how wonderful it is to have prophets today. The apostles and prophets were among the gifts given by the Lord to make the church sufficient and function as a whole. You see that? That was God's plan, and the organization of the church was to have prophets for His purpose. That's why they exist. So, I know the prophets aren't something we talk about a lot, but we need to. We need to know who they are and that they are a part of the organization of the church. And without them, guess what? We would not have the complete message of Jesus Christ, which is the message we offer every Lord's Day. Every time we come together, we bring the message of Jesus Christ. And through Him crucified, we have salvation. If there's one here this morning, if you are not a Christian, if you've not been baptized into Jesus Christ, guess what? You're lost in sin. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you repent of your sins, turning completely away from them to God, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God before men, and be baptized, you can have those sins washed away. And you can be added to the Lord's church. And then you can rise to walk in newness of life and be a part of a wonderful body and have the hope of eternal life in heaven. It can be yours today. If there's someone here this morning that's not been faithful to our Heavenly Father, we want to urge you and plead with you. We beg you to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and get things right. And if we can help you in any way, please won't you come while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.